A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Webby Podcast. This episode is a really special one because today is the 22nd annual Webby Awards, and that means tonight we are honoring a room full of this year's amazing projects, internet wizards, and innovators. To kick off this momentous occasion, I sat down with the host of the 22nd annual Webbys, the incomparable Amber Ruffin. Aside from being an incredible host, Amber is a talented comedian, improviser, and writer on Late Night with Seth Meyers. Her work ethic has taken her to amazing places like Chicago and Amsterdam's well-respected improv circuit, Los Angeles, and beyond. Last week, I sat down with Amber and we talked a bit about growing up in Omaha, Nebraska, and quickly dove into her epic journey to late night, what it's like working with people like Seth Meyers and Michelle Wolf, her favorite parts of internet culture, and what she's looking forward to at this year's Webby Awards.
I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. Maybe I have met two people outside of Omaha, Nebraska who are from Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, so it's like a place where most people stay, or they just don't come to New York very often?
Stay because it's so wonderful.
So why did you leave?
I live there forever because what I just said was a lie. I grew up in Omaha, and then I moved to Chicago to become an improviser.
Okay.
Then I got a job at a place called Boom Chicago in Amsterdam. So then I lived there for 2 years. Then I called the second city in Chicago and asked them for a job, and they gave me one in Denver. So I moved to Denver, and then I got a job at Second City Main Stage in Chicago. So I lived there, and then I missed Amsterdam so bad I had to go back. So I went back to Amsterdam for 3 years that time. And then I moved to L.A. to die. And that's when I got this job.
How did you – tell me this, though. You're growing up in Omaha. I would – maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. It's probably not a rich, vibrant improv scene as a young person to be, like, exposed to be like, I want to be a writer and an improviser. How did you – like, how did you, you know, decide to do that, like, just going to Chicago for the first time?
We had a tiny improv troupe.
In Omaha.
In Omaha. Hmm. And we would go to Chicago for the Chicago Improv Festival, which is, I can't recommend it enough. It is the best thing any improviser can do. You have to go. So we went to the Chicago Improv Festival, and Sharna Halpern, the lady who runs I.O., which is a improv theater, said that I need to move to Chicago. And if I did, I would get a full-time job as an improviser. And even still, there's only like 20 of those in like the world.
Yeah.
So I had to try.
And that's
so
like, a, for people who don't know, that's like sort of a, it's a big, it's like a big stop on becoming a lot of really great people have gone on from there to be, you know, very successful.
Yeah. I also,
so it has some like pedigree that, right?
Yeah, it does. And so does Boom Chicago in Amsterdam.
Is it connected to Chicago in Amsterdam? Or just coincidence that you went from Chicago to Boom Chicago?
Yep.
Okay.
It's just coincidence.
All right. How did you like Amsterdam?
I loved Amsterdam a lot. It was, you know, just like a bunch of wild children. Because there aren't really a lot of like repercussions for your actions. you could show up to Amsterdam and act however you want to act.
Uh-huh.
And I did for years. It was the best.
Is it hard to tell jokes and be funny for Dutch people, or different? Or
it takes an adjustment for sure. But once you get it, it's real easy. Like, they like American humor for sure. But they also like British humor. They like that German stuff. They like that French Jerry Lewis mugging stuff that they still do on their you know, sitcoms and stuff over there. They also like the loud comedy. which is like kind of, you know, people would call it lowbrow, where it's just like yelling anger.
Right.
And that we don't have a lot of that here. But that is a thing that happens in a lot of countries.
Interesting.
And they love that too. I mean, you cannot miss with those people. They love every kind of comedy. They really do. And I think it's because their entertainment is so small. They have so few, you know, sitcoms and stuff
right.
that they import a lot of comedy. So they just get all of it.
You've like acquired this like set of comedic skills for different nationalities, which is really interesting and probably unique.
Yeah, definitely.
I would say most writers on late night probably are not super well versed in comedy for Germans.
Yeah, Germans are oddly the best audience. You'll love a group of Germans. They're so happy. I don't see why, but they're just really happy dudes. I think it's because their food is so delicious.
So then you said you went to die in Los Angeles.
I went to die in Los Angeles. Yeah. Man, it was horrible.
Were you sort of doing the thing of going out and seeing if you could write for shows and stuff
like
that?
Yeah, I went out there and was like, I have to try. And I tried, and it was just sad. The only thing there is to think about or talk about or do is industry stuff.
Right.
And it stinks. Like here in New York, you can have friends who are, you know, regular people who don't, who aren't like attention starved actors. Which I am. But also like, you know, everyone moved there to pursue their dreams and they're working so hard, and that like that pace is just sad.
What's it like? I mean, you must go back to LA sometimes now, I would imagine, right?
I go back to LA all the time, and frankly I would rather live in LA, because LA, while you are like poor and struggling, is terrible. But if you have your head above water even the littlest bit, it's fun.
Right.
I spent all that time in Chicago, but now everyone I came up with in Chicago now lives in L.A., all of them. Maybe I know 12 people in Chicago, and it used to be like 1,000 of us. So
right.
1,000 of my friends moved to L.A., and I really feel like when I go there, it's, I'm going to say honestly, 60% of every human being I know lives there.
Yeah.
So it feels really nice to
right.
be there for that reason.
That's nice. So tell me about, how did you get the job on Late Night?
I went to New York to audition for SNL, and then I didn't get SNL, and I could have died.
Oh, yeah.
I was so sad, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
But, you know, only for 3 days, because then 3 days later, after I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm just going to live in L.A., and I'll just live like this forever.
And we'll talk, I mean, if you don't mind, we talk about it a little bit, because I would just imagine, never having gone through it, but like that's sort of like the pinnacle improvisational thing you probably always hope to try out for and do, right?
Sure. Well, yeah.
And sort of like you got your shot. And
yeah. I mean, I had sent them tapes before, and honestly, remembering them, they were just awful. It was terrible. Oh my God. Every once in a while I will, and this is true, I will think about the tapes that I sent them and physically cringe. Oh my God, what horrible work I sent those people. So
but they had you come out anyway. It couldn't have been that bad.
That was years before.
Okay, yeah.
So then I had they had showcases in LA. So I put together what I thought was great. I still stand by it. Great bits for my SNL audition. And, you know, we had two or three different showcases in LA before we went out to
right.
New York. And I thought what I did was great. And I felt so safe, because all of the people auditioning were like our little buddies. It was very fun. It was a very good time.
So Late Night and SNL, you know, lots of connections there. Was it somebody who saw you there that reached out to Seth and the team and said they should talk to you, or how did that come about?
Oh, Seth Meyers used to perform at Boom Chicago in Amsterdam. Oh, so I had met Seth. I knew him. He had seen me perform for years.
Oh, cool.
So it was probably him who got me that SNL audition in the first place. And then I suppose I didn't get it. So then he was like, she would do great in the Writers' Room at Late Night.
Yeah.
Yay.
Awesome. That must have been like a great feeling.
Oh my God. I mean, straight out of the gutter. I couldn't have been sadder. And then I, that's not true. Because you know what? I was a nanny to a perfect little baby and I still love him so bad. Oh my God. I love that baby. So I was holding my precious little tiny baby boy and on the phone with Seth, who I thought called to tell me that he was sorry that I didn't get SNL. And I kept... I could be like, oh, that's so nice. You didn't have to call. But that wasn't why he was calling. He was like, can you come right? I'm going to host Late Night now. Can you come right on it? And I was so thrilled. And I waited until I got home. I didn't call my husband. I waited until I got home. Because at that point, my husband was a security guard working nights. So I, oh God, oh my God, it was the fucking worst life. So I came home and I shook him awake. It was like, we're moving to New York. Ah! And we did, and it's the best.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't complain about LA so bad, but it was really like, oh, your future may just be theater forever, which, P.S., I love theater, and I always will. It's my first love. But, you know, it's not a great way to, like, eat and live.
Yeah. It's a very inspiring story. But I also want to point out that I have a feeling, and you're not telling the part, is that, like, you work really, really, really hard. That's my guess. Only because I know Seth Meyers works really, really hard, and I would imagine that the people in that writer's room to get there worked really, really hard. It's not like you just got this call. And I mean, there's a lot of...
Oh, sure.
You did it to get there.
Yeah. And once I found out I was going to audition for SNL, I went to literally every open night, open mic night, in between that showcase and the audition, and did my material for friggin' two people every night. And it was murder. But it got me to a really excellent place. And I had never been over-rehearsed. And I was just painfully over-rehearsed. Huh. I didn't know that that was possible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I kind of overdid it.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's, like, a very few amount of people in the world who knows what it's like to be a writer on Late Night. What's that like? Like, what's your day like?
It's too much fun. I get to work at 9:30, and I, you know, we all, on Mondays, we pitch an idea, and, you know, if it gets picked, you write it that whole day. And if it doesn't, you work on your other stuff that's in the show that week. And I am on the sketch team and not the monologue team. So the monologue team just writes monologue jokes all day, every day.
That's
their life. We on the sketch team goof off hard. No, we write all day, but it's, you know, we get to sit with each other and giggle and write. And say things out loud, and then the thing that we said out loud that makes us giggle, we write it down. It, you know, it's a lot of fun. And that, Seth hired the nicest people he knew. He said, a lot of people could do this job. I hired the nicest people I knew. And he really did. And I love those people so bad. And I hear other people talk about their writers' rooms, but we are in love. It is bad. We come in and are fucking thrilled, and everybody's talking about their week and blah 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 blah. And when we're not together, we're texting each other. There's a text chain. Oh my goodness, it's bad. We're in love. We got it bad.
Yeah, it comes through. You guys, I mean, the show feels very like made of people that are generally happy.
Yeah,
it's not. It doesn't have a sort of, you know, mad tone to it.
No, it's a bunch of giggle pusses for sure.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
How did Amber Says What get started? Which I think is, I don't know if it's your most famous segment or sketch, but definitely one that people follow and we see a lot online and stuff. How did that get started?
I just brought it in after we were on hiatus for the Olympics or the Winter Olympics. It had to be the Winter Olympics. And I just brought in a wrap up, and it was originally the Olympics wrap up. But it, all I did was say what to everything. And then Seth was like, you might as well just go ahead and call that Amber Says What. And I said, oh, okay.
I'm always amazed at how many different ways you can say what. Like as many of them, I keep thinking I'm going to hear the same thing, and it's like always a new one.
Good. That's our goal.
Yeah. A lot of the segments that you do, and I think just generally that Late Night does, makes it into cultural conversation. You know, makes it up onto Twitter the next day. People start talking about it. You did a rap responding to... let's just say what Kanye's been talking about. How's that as a down the middle way of describing the chain of recent weeks and Kanye? And it got picked up pretty quickly. It was like a big thing on Time magazine about it yesterday. I saw. Is that something you guys are trying to do? Is that something you're trying to do? Is like, you know, get it from also doing something for the audience, obviously, and for the people who are watching at that time, but also having some sort of perspective on what's going on that becomes part of the rest of the world.
I mean, sure, maybe, but I don't think so. I think it comes from me being like, I am goofing off real hard, but I'm never telling a lie. The thought of Kanye saying that and children hearing that and then going to school and being discriminated against and walking home from school and not being able to go into the 7-Eleven more than one at a time and stuff. And thinking that children are going through that, going, well, this is on me, because Kanye said this isn't a thing, and I'm making up all of this discrimination. It's all in my head. The thought of a child thinking that makes me sick to my stomach. And so I had to, like, that was straight bubbling over. I just hate the fact that he said that so bad. And that's where any time you see, like, Jenny or I or Seth on the show talking very passionately about something, it is because we feel like we have to say it.
Yeah.
And it is weird that there is this, like, I certainly don't feel, like, obligated, but...
It's not like you're like, he said something, we need a take on that. It was, you viscerally had a take on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. So mad. I'm still a little mad.
It was a very funny bit, though. Also.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I mean, the dancing, and I mean, it's very funny and poignant.
Oh, good.
Let's talk a little about the internet.
Never heard of it.
What do you think about what's going on the internet these days? Are you like, you have a pretty active Twitter feed?
I love Twitter. I will sit and read it forever. And you really have to watch who you follow, because for a while there, I was only following very angry people. And I had like a week where I was like, I am so angry and the world is so terrible. And don't get me wrong, it's awful.
Yeah.
But you still have to be a human being who can survive in it and contribute to it.
Yeah.
And you can't really do that if you're... staring unblinkingly into the void where our humanity used to be.
Yeah.
You got to have some cute dogs in there. So I friggin' followed Cute Emergency and that one fluffy dog and like some comedians who I know who are like, you know what, I'm just never going to comment on what's happening. And slowly they have become like the rest of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, it took some, you really have to curate. You have to watch what your input is.
Yeah. I mean, talk a little bit more about that. How much of, how aware do you have to be of like your own mind frame and what's coming in and what you're being exposed to for like the job that you're doing? Do you like need to be getting certain types of inspiration outside the writer's room in order to have the material and the ideas when you get in there?
You know what? It is nice to, because we are like all comedians and all of our best friends are comedians. So it's very like when Michelle Wolf did the White House Correspondents' Dinner, I had a moment where I was like, is this a huge deal to us because we're comedians and we love the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Or did everyone see this and everyone is feeling this way? So it did help to be, you know, a part of Twitter. Although the reason why I knew it was everyone was because my Dutch husband was like, hey, my brother said something about Michelle Wolf. And I was like, oh, okay. If it reached Amsterdam, then we're good. And everyone's talking about it.
I have a hard time understanding why it was controversial, but evidently people thought it was very controversial.
It was controversial because she said that and she's a woman.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. I think you guys should be very proud. Also, got the White House Correspondents' Dinner hosted by her. She's a former writer. I think she's a colleague of yours in the writer.
Yeah,
you got the like Webbies now also. It's like Seth Meyers' writer's room is taking over all the award shows.
Yeah. You know what? A lot of people hire people for their television shows based on the credits people have from other television shows. But Seth is not concerned with that at all. Seth is concerned with who are the funniest people that I know. And then that's how you find Michelle. You know, we also have one of our writers, Brian Donaldson. They found him on Twitter. He's the Nardvark on Twitter and has like a bajillion D followers and is hilarious. And he was a IT guy in Peoria. And then he had never been to New York. And now he lives here and works at Late Night Seth and writes jokes all day.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's the best.
That's the best part of the internet.
I forgot how this started.
I was asking you what you thought about Michelle Wolf.
Oh my God. She's my favorite. She's my little friend. I love her so bad. I'm going to go do some of her test shows. I'm going to do one on the 10th.
Because she has a new Netflix show coming out, right?
She has a new Netflix show coming out. And she, talk about work hard. Michelle used to come to work. You know, we work from 9 to 6:30. We start taping the show. So she would work from, first of all, she got promoted to script supervisor. She would come in, work all day, and then do 2 or 3 sets at night every single day.
Wow.
And every once in a while, I would be like, let's go out and get a drink. And she'd be like, well, I have 2 sets or I have 3 sets. And it's like, why do you have all of that? You need to breathe. But she absolutely doesn't. I don't know if she sleeps. I think today she's running a 50-mile race.
Stop it.
She is an
come on
insane
oh
person.
Oh, my gosh. That's just making everybody look so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, she really just has decided, oh, I'm just going to work myself to death, see if I can't die at 35.
So do you have any takeaways from her monologue that you're bringing into or thinking about for hosting the Webbies coming up here?
Oh, no. Jesus. Michelle and I are all the way different, which is why I love her so bad. Because she's cold-blooded. I mean, not as a human being, but she will say a mean thing like a mug, does not give a rip, which I love. But I kind of do give a rip, and I like would die if I said something that made someone feel bad. Like, I'm kind of that type of dude, and she is very not.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we go together so well. But do I have any? No. I mean, no. I do feel like she's kind of pushed the needle as far as what fucking constitutes meanness. You know, like the very concept of meanness, she took it and moved it a couple inches. I mean, that is how insane what she did was. I'm just thrilled for her. I spent a lot of time being thrilled for her. My husband, you know, like I know a lot of people who, you know, from Chicago, who have, or Boom Chicago, like Jordan Peele, Seth and Kay Cannon and Jason Sudeikis, like people who have come up, you know, and made a real name for themselves. But my husband, doesn't know a lot of these comedians. But Michelle, he knew from work, from the second she got the job. So this is the first time he's ever seen a person become famous, and he's just over the moon.
I thought you'd say he was terrified for you.
No, he's thrilled. Oh, but it's cool. It's like, hey, I finally know a famous person. I'm like, well, we meet a couple every once in a while. He's like, yeah, but I knew her when she was normal. I'm like, oh my gosh.
So tell me about your approach to hosting the Webbies. Are there any winners you're excited to, not like in a meet thing, but that you're excited we're honoring, or any of the, you know, work that you admire?
No, you know, I don't really care for these people. I'm just kidding.
All right.
FKA Twigs. All right. I mean, geez Louise. Jesse Williams, I'm also thrilled to meet.
There's a few people here at our office that have, like, been making heart signs, you know, a lot when his name is brought up.
I'm a huge Grey's Anatomy fan. I have it bad. But I'm also a huge fan of his friggin' activism when he told it like it was. Where was that?
Was it the BET Awards?
Yes,
right?
The BET Awards. And I was like, I can't believe this man is saying this. And that was great. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I love you so bad. I love you forever. And he hasn't stopped.
Yeah.
Talk about put your money where your mouth is. He is not messing around out there.
There's a lot of winners, actually. I think every year, but this year also, where, like, if you really focus on what they're doing, like, it'll make you, like, just cry in the middle of the street. You're like, you know what I mean? It's happened to me.
Yeah, but it should. There was a lot of that here.
Yeah.
I am so thrilled. I mean, and also, like, where else are we going to give them their due? Like, there aren't a lot of awards for stuff like this. Yeah. It is so nice that they get to get recognized for, like, even, like, there aren't a lot of awards for, like, you know, being an innovator.
Yeah.
Like, friggin' FKA Twigs is an innovator.
Yeah, she's amazing.
It's, you know, it's very exciting. I'm very excited.
Cool. Well, we're excited to have you.
Not as excited as I am.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
I'll fight you.
We'll have, like, a mutual, like, who's more excited club.
Yay! Oh, it's a club.
So you're writing this show all day long, and then you're writing the other thing you're writing on the side?
I write on Late Night Seth. I'm a narrator for Drunk History, and that's my friggin' favorite goofiness. I write for a show called Detroiters on Comedy Central. Detroiters is a show about two ad men from Detroit, with Sam Richardson and Tim Robinson is the most fun. I am writing that other show. Did I say that? I'm writing I'm working with Bill Brown on a musical called The Wiz, and I'm working to rewrite The Wiz.
Never heard of that.
It's going to go up this summer at the Muni in St. Louis, and then we're going to see if we can't get all the way to Broadway.
Amazing. No pressure on that, by the way, rewriting The Wiz.
I know, that's right. With the man who wrote The Wiz. Me and the man who originally wrote The Wiz sat down, and I was like, maybe the munchkins fart? Just kidding. They don't fart. Yet.
Amber Ruffin, we are super excited to have you hosting the 22nd Annual Webby Awards tonight.
Yay. I'm about to look so beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you so much, and good luck. Break a leg, I guess.
Yay, I'll break both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to say a huge thank you to Amber for sitting down with me, and most of all for hosting this year's show. She's hands down one of the nicest people and best hosts we've had for the Webby Awards. You can follow her at Amber M. Ruffin, AmberMRuffin, and check out her hilarious Amber Says What segments and more on Late Night. Stay tuned to watch her host the 22nd Annual Webby Awards tomorrow, May 15th at webbyawards.com. Our producer is Sebastian Ade. Our editorial director is Nicole Ferraro. Research and writing by Jordana Jarrett. Music is Poddington Bear. Claire Graves is the CMO of Compostable Pasta Straws. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back here next week.
Hi, Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.